Bibles to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 8. We're going to do a little object lesson from these verses here. Esther chapter 8. We'll read the first two verses, kind of give us our setting, and then we want to deal with the king's ring. I want to show you what the value it has, everything it means when the king would pass on his ring to someone else, and then the type it holds in the Bible. Esther chapter 8, verse 1. It says, on that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about this ring and this seal of the king here. Father, thank you for your words. Father, thank you for everybody that is here tonight. Do pray for those that are traveling, that you would get them back here safely. And those that are sick, that you'd heal up their bodies. And Lord, get them back on their feet and feeling better. Father, thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I pray tonight that you would be able to take these words and apply them to our hearts, to our minds, to our lives. And Lord, help us to learn what we need to learn from you. And Lord, I pray that you would do that tonight for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Esther here is, remember last week, old Haman got hanged. And that's kind of the thing if you've been following the book of Esther, going through this thing, this guy shows up as a bad guy right off the bat, and you've been kind of waiting for that time, Haman, to get his just dessert there. And so he's hanged in chapter 7. Esther tells the king, after Haman's dead, Esther explains to the king that Mordecai is her cousin. Remember, they hadn't let that information go, that nobody told anybody that. Mordecai had also told Esther, don't tell anybody what nationality you are. You're not Jew, don't tell anybody you're Jewish. And so all that stuff helps Esther through navigating all the wiles of Haman here. But now she tells Ahasuerus that Mordecai is her cousin. And King Ahasuerus basically gives over whatever Haman had is now belongs to Esther. And he takes off the ring that he had given to Haman. I don't know how much earlier in the chronology he had given Haman this ring, but he gets the ring off of Haman and he gives it to Mordecai. And that ring, that thing, that shows up several times in the Bible. It shows up with Joseph in Egypt. Joseph gets the ring from Pharaoh, and it basically meant you're the second guy in charge. You are not only that, but that ring was a seal, and it was kind of any document, anything that was stamped with that ring that had the official king's business on it. And so Mordecai is given that ring, so he had the authority to, you know, he could write law, he could do whatever he wanted to at this point. And so he's given the ring, and that ring is a seal. It's mentioned that way in verse 8. Just let's look at this verse here. Look in verse 8 over there. Esther 8:8 says, write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. All right, so that thing was a seal. It was the stamp of approval. It was said, whatever's on this piece of paper, whatever's on this document, that stamp, that was the official business of the king. And Mordecai is given that thing. And there's really three things all through this chapter that ring, or that seal, I guess you could say, is going to denote, or it's going to do. Let me show you the other verse where this shows up. You're still in Esther 8, look in verse 10. It says, and he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by posts on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries. So you get, he sent it by posts. That's where you get the word post office. It's post and it's sent out from there. All that said, I want to show you three things in this chapter specifically about that ring. And it's a good little object lesson because that ring held great authority in that kingdom. And it did it with any kingdom. I know when Joseph got a ring from Pharaoh in Egypt, that ring was the seal of the king there. But there's a great type in that thing. And that's really what I want to get to, but I don't want to forego the history of what's going on here before I get to the type, but I want to tell you what the type is. That seal of the king's approval is like, in type, the Holy Spirit of God for a believer. And I'll show you how that works in just a minute, but let's see what exactly is going on here. First of all, that ring, when Mordecai gets that ring in chapter 8, verse 2, that ring bore the marks identifying the king. It was the royal mark. I suppose every king had his own ring, and it bore the marks, the physical demarcation of the king. And he would write letters. He would, like I said, he would put official business, and that thing would be stamped on there. And I guess they'd drop some wax on there, put that ring on there, and it bore the mark of the king, the physical impression of the king. You hear a lot about in the Bible mark, you know, the mark of the beast, the mark of this, the mark of God on in Revelation when in the 144,000 mark on their forehead, things like that. This is kind of, I guess, similar. It bore a mark that was the identifying mark of that king. And that being said, you say, how, or let me just explain how, that physical impression that's made is very much like the Holy Spirit of God sealing a believer. But first, let me deal with the Holy Spirit of God in the life of Jesus Christ. All right, the Spirit of God had made an impression in the life of Jesus Christ. And I'll give you an example. All right, when Jesus Christ shows his nail-scarred hands and his scarred side to Thomas, those were the physical impressions of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. That was what the Holy Spirit of God looked like working through Jesus Christ. All right, it was because the body, we dealt with this so many times, the body was no good, you know, the flesh and blood and all that stuff, but he had yielded that body to the Spirit of God. And that the work of the Spirit of God had bore some physical marks in that man. All right, Paul has the same thing, not the same thing, but similar things happen. When Paul gets saved, and I'm mentioning the Holy Spirit like this ring because the ring is the seal. That's the thing that says this has the king's approval on it. This has royal approval on whatever is going on here. All right? So just take a person that gets saved. You get saved, you get the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says you are, quench not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So he puts his spirit in you to say, my stamp of approval is on this soul. Okay? All right? when Paul got saved, though, that had some physical effects on him. All right? When he got saved, one of the things that happened to Paul, just to, as an example, I mentioned Jesus Christ as Paul. When Paul got saved, one of the things that happened to him, anybody remember how he got saved? What happened? What were the circumstances? Anybody remember? He was blinded. He fell off his horse. He's knocked off his horse. Jesus Christ appears to him, and he's resurrected from the dead, and Paul is blinded, and the people around him don't really see what's going on, but Paul asks a couple questions there, and I think it's Acts chapter 9, and from that point on, Paul had some problems with his eyes. There's a few days that passed, the scales, the Bible says, came off his eyes, but it sounds like, when you read the book of Galatians, Paul still had eye trouble. That thing was a reminder, and it was a physical mark of the work of the Holy Spirit of God in that man's life. All right, and we don't usually think about things like that, but that was a mark, a physical impression that God had made on that man's life. All right, so he had eye trouble. Another thing that happened, he said one time to the Corinthians, he talked about getting 39 lashes. Remember that? Where he's explaining to the Corinthians, because they're all carnal folks, and so he doesn't want to go there and brag about the fact that he's been persecuted and been beaten for what he believes, or for his faith, for trusting Jesus Christ, for following Jesus Christ. But because I guess there's not any other way to explain it to the Corinthians, he goes there and he says, look, I've been beaten. I have been shipwrecked. I have suffered all these things. And basically comparing what happened to him to other folks who would come in and just, you know, want to teach him something or whatever, said, look, I bear the marks in my body of the work of the Holy Spirit of God in me. I bear the marks in my own body of this. And so Paul would, he could point to the scars on his back. He could point to his eyes. He could point to several things that were physical impressions, but they were physical impressions and they were marks of the approval of God on his life. Now that's something I guess we think about blessings, we think about, you know, good things and all that. The reality of a lot of it is, you know, we still live in the United States and we're still pretty free to do what we do. In a lot of other places, they're not free to do what they do, and they physically bear the marks of the work of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. Sometimes they bear the marks of the family. I mean, some of you guys do. You get saved, and the family doesn't want anything to do with that, and so you bear the marks of relationships that are broken. You bear the marks of, Paul bear the physical beating marks. But the point is, that seal, that thing that that Mordecai gets, is the seal, the physical seal of approval of the king that says, you have my approval on whatever you're going to do. Here's my approval on your life. And it was a physical seal that was given to Mordecai, and it's a great type of the work of or God's approval on someone's life, and that it just happens to be we read about Jesus Christ, about Paul, about all these apostles, the disciples. There were some physical impressions made on their life when God got a hold of their lives. Paul had said this. He said this before. He said, you know, when I was in the Jews' religion, I profited. I made a good living. I was climbing the ladder. I wasn't suffering. I was prosperous. And you know what he said about all that? I mean, he said, I count all that stuff. I look back on it, and I count it as dung and all that stuff. But the point was, that didn't leave any marks on him. There was never a point in time where that religion cost him anything. In fact, it was profitable to him to become a part of that religion. However, when the Holy Spirit got a hold of his life, then there was a cost involved now. All right? So just that type, that idea of there is a physical impression made when the king gives his approval to Mordecai. Just like there is a physical impression made of God giving his spirit to a man or a woman, there's a physical impression made. We read about some of those things in the Bible where God's given his approval, he sealed that soul, and that has caused cost that soul some things physically. All right? The ring bore the marks identifying the king. Jesus Christ, going back to the Lord Jesus Christ, the hands, the side, the holes, the cut, the in the side, all that stuff was identifying marks of the king. That was how you knew this was the king. That's how Thomas knew this was the king. This was royalty here. This man is royalty. All right? The ring bore the marks identifying the king. It was the physical impression made of the king there. All right? Second thing, that ring was the authority of the king. All right? It's just like signing somebody who has the authority to sign their name to something, and they put their name on it, and that thing's good to go. You just need your signature. Well, this had the signature of the very king. And the authority behind it was the king and the kingdom. That ring carried royal authority. It was any document that was stamped with that ring meant the king and his kingdom was behind this thing. That seal, think about this. When Mordecai comes to this point, there's nothing that can undo the law that's been put in place. Meaning, what Haman set up as far as a date of genocide, that was already set in stone, so to speak. That was already set in motion. That thing was already happening. So there wasn't a way to take it off the book, so to speak. The only thing that could not take it off the books or erase it, there's no way to erase it, but the only thing that could mitigate that thing was some other law coming into play that would help the Jews. And that's what's going to happen. What Mordecai is going to do is he is going to make sure all of the Jews are armed and have a way to fight for themselves when that time comes. Well, when he starts arming the Jews, when he starts making sure they're going to be able to fight for themselves, of course, that turns a lot of people off to wanting to kill him. You're not going to go after folks that can defend themselves. All right, so this is what he's going to say. I don't want to get too much into this because we're going to deal with it another time. Let's see. Look in verse 10. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring, sent letters by post on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together, to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for prey. So he said, on this day, you are allowed. I am not going to prosecute you for killing people. If people come after you and you kill them, you are not prosecuted under this kingdom. You are free to defend yourselves, and you are free not only to defend yourselves, but if you kill the person who's after you, you are free to own all their stuff too. Well, that changes a lot of people's mind in Persia, because there were obviously some other anti-Semites that were there that were on board with Haman's plan. But now the Jews are armed, and Mordecai is going to give them a new law that's going to help them fight against this other law that's in place. The point is that ring was the authority of the king, and that seal would be the only way to undo the curse of death. It was the only thing that could undo that curse of death. And so Mordecai's got a hold of that thing. Mordecai is going to be a great type of Jesus Christ throughout this book, and particularly the glorification of Jesus Christ here at the end. But that seal, that ring Mordecai has now, is the way he's going to undo the curse. There's several verses that come to mind. I'll give you a couple of them. Look over in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. All right, Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus Christ, here's Jesus Christ, dies on the cross. Now here's the resurrection part of this. The Bible says in verse 3, Romans 1, 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. All right, you see the power of the Spirit there. The power of the flesh was gone. The flesh is dead. It had exhausted its power. In death, there's no more power in the flesh. But the Bible says he's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. And later on in Romans, he's going to talk about the Spirit raising him from the dead. The point was that was the authority of the king. That's the authority of God Almighty. That is the power of God to overcome the curse of death. I guess you could put it that way. And when Mordecai comes in there with the ring there, and he stamps his approval on this new law that's going to undo, or I guess not undo, but provide a new life for the Jews. It's a great type of the Holy Spirit resurrecting Jesus Christ coming up from the dead there by the power of the Spirit of God, showing there's new life there that overcomes the curse of death that was on him. It's on you and me. All right, so the power of the Spirit of God over a physical body and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an example of it. And it's a great type, or that ring there, that seal of God, or that seal of Ahasuerus, was the authority of the king, just like the Holy Spirit would be the authority of God to overcome the flesh, overcome the death of the flesh, and be the power of God to resurrect that flesh from the dead. So the ring was the authority of the king. It bore in it the authority of the king. Then lastly is this, Esther chapter 8, verse 10, we've read it a couple times here. That ring multiplied, or that seal multiplied the words of the king. That was the way the king's words would be multiplied now. All right, he says, verse 10, and he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by posts on horseback and riders on mules and camels and young dromedaries. All right, so he puts the seal on those letters, and he publishes that thing throughout all of Persia, and he multiplies the commandment that goes out with the seal. All right, so he sends that thing out, and that seal, that ring, would multiply the words of the king. He would use that to, I guess, multiply the power, multiply the work of the king there going out. The interesting type here is this, when that's the way Mordecai uses that thing. So he publishes the word, he gets the word out. The Jews are going to be able to fight when the time comes, and they need to. They're going to be able to fight. They're going to be protected by law when the time comes and when they need to. And he would get the word out with that seal there. How does that work with the Holy Spirit? Well, when Jesus Christ resurrects from the dead, and he's talking to those disciples, you read about it in Acts chapter 1, and he tells those disciples, he says, you wait in Jerusalem till I send my Holy Spirit. When I do that, you'll receive power, and then they go out from there and they preach this kingdom now. And that word, that power is multiplied by the seal God had. The seal is the Spirit of God. And he multiplies himself. Now he's no longer working in the body of Jesus Christ. Now he's working in multiple bodies of people. Because it's the Spirit of God. The seal is able to multiply the work many times over. And so he multiplies it. And every time you read about somebody in Acts where they're filled with the Spirit of God, the Bible describes them as speaking boldly about Jesus Christ. They're filled with the Spirit of God and they say something boldly about Jesus Christ in the face of opposition, in the face of trouble, all that kind of thing. But that seal was used to multiply the words of the king. Just like in preaching, the power of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God uses preachers. Here we are on Sunday night and there are, I don't know how many thousands of preachers probably in pulpits all across the country preaching. And it's the same God, and it's the same Jesus Christ, it's the same Bible, and it's the Holy Spirit of God that is able to multiply that work from, you know, all across the globe. Meaning it's not just, you don't have to show up at one place where you can get this anymore. Now the work is everywhere. And so that seal in Esther, he uses that seal to multiply the work and the word of God, of the king, to get the word out, to make it more, to publish it, but to make it more effective in everywhere. Just like the seal of God and the Holy Spirit is used to multiply the work of God whenever Jesus Christ goes. No longer is the work limited to a body. Now it's multiplied out by the Spirit of God. And you know, you read about that in Acts where, you know, the Holy Spirit comes down. Then you've got Peter preaching. You've got Andrew preaching. You've got all those guys, Simon, all those guys preaching. And the work is being multiplied out in many different locations. I think you get the idea here. It's not limited anymore. It's not physically limited anymore. So that ring that Mordecai gets, this is all literal history here. This happened, but it turns out to be a great type of the Holy Spirit of God, because it's the seal of the king. And that seal that says, the king approves of this man. And the king approves of this man. And whatever this man says, do. And this man has all the backing of the kingdom. And that first goes into Jesus Christ. If you want to make the type, the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, that's God saying, this is my seal of approval on this man. And then after Jesus Christ is gone, now the Bible says of us, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption, saying God has given you his mark of approval, and he wants to use you, and he wants to use you for his work, and he wants you to be joyful, and he wants you to be live at peace, and he wants you to charitable, all those kinds of things. But that seal is God's, I guess, stamp of approval, but it's in the form of a Holy Spirit. Not just a ring there, it's the form of a Holy Spirit. You know, there are probably some other examples of a ring, like a ring in marriage, where it's a seal, where it's something that is a seal of approval, a seal of acceptance, a seal like that. But I think it's a great type of the Holy Spirit of God and how he works and how God uses the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to seal his believers and then to continue the work that he has through them. So I hope that's helpful, little typology, little object lesson there from that ring. Again, Mordecai is a great type of Jesus Christ. And as we get to the end of this book, you're going to see a lot of similarities between Mordecai and Jesus Christ, and how Jesus Christ gets glorified and how Mordecai ends up getting glorified. through all this. He's a great type of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of types in this book, a lot of types. So I hope that's helpful to you. We'll pray and we'll go to the fellowship hall and have some dinner. Father, thank you so much for your words. I pray this has been helpful. I pray that this little object lesson, there's probably a lot more that could be said about the Holy Spirit and about the typology here. I pray that what's been said is sufficient to help us understand a little bit more about your work in a life of a soul and understand a little bit more about what's going on here in Esther. And I thank you for putting these words in your book. Thank you for giving them to us. Thank you for giving them to me. And thank you for this time together with everybody. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.